Metro Access Subcommittee, January 19th, 2016.
We're going to start the Metro Access meeting today. Now, would you please silence your cell phones? Any customers that want to make comments, make sure you get your name on the list. I'm Denise Brush, and I'm the Vice Chair of the Metro Access Meeting. I'm going to go to my left.
Devin Vanity from Loving Virginia.
Donna Sanders, West Washington, D.C.
Charlie Crockett, Montgomery County, and Access for All, Council of Governments.
Christopher Colbert, Metro Office of Eligibility.
Donald Scruggs, Metro Access.
Irvin Fry, Metro Access.
I'm Carolyn Bellamy. I'm a consumer advocate for Metro Access, and I am a Montgomery County resident.
Allison Anderson, Metro Access.
Omari Jones, Metro Access.
You are Hastings, Metro Access.
Phyllis Stoutland, Metro Access.
Carl Baker, Metro Access.
Yeah, Tony Stevens from College Park.
We're having difficulty with the microphone. We're going to come back to who is attending the meeting, and we're going to approve the agenda.
Can we get a motion to do that, Madam Chair?
Could I get a motion to approve the agenda?
And I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those that opposed? All right, we're going to approve the minutes. There's one thing that needs to be changed. It says that I attended the safety exercise December the 13th. I did not attend the meeting because of the waiver, so that needs to be revised. Okay, so is that noted? Now we're going to continue the introduction.
Any policy on planning?
It's going in and out.
Jen Weber, MTN.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to back to reviewing the minutes and getting them approved.
Motion to approve as amended.
Wait a minute, there's still, I'm sorry, there's still some introduction.
Carlton Brown.
Albert.
Okay, is that everyone? All right. Now we're going to back, going back to approving the minutes as amended.
I've moved that we have approved the minutes as amended.
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Oh, okay. Any nays? Abstentions? I guess the motion carries to move the accept the minutes, approve the minutes as amended.
Oh,
can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
Also report, sorry if you're late. Chair McCracken's meeting. So we already approved the minutes. All right, and the agenda. Okay, so I guess we can go to customer service out.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At this time, I would like to have Carlton Brown with MCM give the public comment resolution report from last meeting.
Good afternoon, committee. My name is Carlton Brown. I'm the Quality Assurance Administrative Manager with MTM. From the last December meeting, we had three public comments that required investigation and resolution, and we were able to do that in that time. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to have Metro Access Service Monitor Janice Carpenter provide the outreach report. She's going to make her way up to the table here to do so.
Good afternoon. There are no outreach events to report at this time for since the last meeting. However, we've been invited on February 23rd at Target Community and Educational Services, Inc. in Gaithersburg, and we look forward to providing them information and receiving questions that we can help them with any issues that they may have, and we'll report on that next month. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we're going to have Service Monitor Stephanie Thorne give the Michael Wilson Award presentation.
This month's Michael Wilson Recognition Award goes to an operator from Diamond Transportation who has been with the Metro Access team since July 31st of 2012 and been with Diamond Transportation since July 1st of 2013. During his tenure, this operator has received 15 customer commendations and been recognized for exemplary customer service. A quote from one of the commendations says, "Thank you to the driver that helped me on and off the van in a safe way, being a safe driver and getting me to work on time today. This driver was well-mannered and did an excellent job. He made my day." These kinds of comments are what we expect to hear from all of our operators, and this operator is setting the bar on good customer service in a safe environment. From the onset, this operator stood out amongst the rest as an individual for his impeccable attention to detail, ability to cooperate with others, and positive attitude. This month, we are so excited to give the Michael Wilson Recognition Award to Mr. Kroglu from Diamond Transportation. Thank you. Thank you. So that concludes our customer service and outreach report.
Okay. Thank you so much. And as we discussed at the last meeting, I think we're taking off the topic of stops at non-metro locations. So now we can hear our presentation on Maryland Abilities Ride and spending entire time on that, which I'm presuming, Mr. Blake, you're going to have facilitated.
Well, we're going to do it a little differently than the original plan, because we have done some work and some effort to put together something to discuss, but there's been a little slight change in how we're going to do this format tonight. Instead of, as you all know now, you didn't receive anything in the mail, in the email from me, and Denise called me today, and a couple others called, and I said, no, we're not going to get a document at this moment to respond to. But instead, Mr. Kent would like to do, he's not here yet, but what he would like to do instead...
Oh, yes, he is. So, please invite him to the table.
Yeah, yes. he could take the lead from here. Let him run.
What I do then? Well, good afternoon.
Just like you. It must be the impending snowstorm at the end of the week.
Okay, let's try that again. Good afternoon, members of the Metro Access Subcommittee. So we're here to talk to you this afternoon about proposed Metro Access alternatives. And one of the things that I think Chris was about to explain is that some of you have given your opinions and your input on Metro doing other types of paratransit alternatives already. That input has already filtered its way all through the leadership. And then there were folks like Ms. Carolyn Bellamy, I'll call her out, who said, you know, you guys might want to talk to us in a little bit more detail. So we decided that the smarter thing for us to do before we started trying to present ideas was to invite the committee to educate us a little more on what you see the issues being, so that we don't create something that isn't going to work, that you all would not approve of. I can tell you that can anticipate what some of those concerns are because I can read the paper just like many other people can. That there have been some concerns, and you know, it's kind of ironic because over the time that I've been here, many of the changes that we made to Metro Access since 2005 involved making changes to the way that we deliver the service so that we had more robust systems in place. We used to run Metro Access as if it were a very small business. And then the service grew rapidly, and it frankly outgrew the infrastructure that we had. And I give you one specific example of this. Mr. Bryce, that's your phone? Okay, thank you, Ms. Bell. I appreciate that. I thought Mr. Semmerford asked everybody to sign their phone. The scheduling system is one very good example of this. In 2005, we were scheduling Metro Access trips by hand. And that was fun. And that was about 4,000 trips a day. So you can imagine what kind of a task that was. The customers would call in their reservations. We would print them up on tickets. And we put the little tickets into little magnet holders, which we'd stick on the wall. And the schedulers would have this huge set of magnets on the wall, and their job was to read each one of them and see what address the customer was coming from and where they were going to, and try to basically arrange them in neat little rows. And each row was a driver's assignment, which ultimately would become a manifest. And we did that day after day, year after year, when the service went from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4,000 customers a day. Now, in the paratransit world, after you pass a couple thousand trips, generally it's held that you should be getting a computer. Just because, you know, the human mind can only do so much at the same time. And so in 2006, when the MV contract started, that's when we got the captive scheduling system into place. I don't think there's any intention of WMATA to ever go back to those old days. We bought the computer system. It's huge. It's connected to the phone system now. That's that same phone system that calls you to confirm that your trip has been reserved and that your ride is at your location and that sort of thing. But what we built into Metro Access was the idea that it was a service that was here to stay. It used to be viewed years ago as a temporary thing that the ADA introduced until some fine day when bus and rail was fully accessible. And then the United States discovered that paratransit service is a permanent. And even with the most accessible bus and rail system, there's always going to be a need for paratransit service just because of the nature of disability. So then we started asking ourselves, well, why are we running a service like it's SMART when it's here to stay and it's only going to get bigger over time? And so then we made other changes, like to the vehicles. We buy the vehicles ourselves. When we put the contract out for bid in 2013, we discontinued the practice of having subcontractors. And that kind of brings us close to the discussion that we're supposed to be having today, which Mr. Semmerford probably wants to know, Ms. Rush wants to know, and others want to know, if WMATA, in the interest of saving money, is considering going back to a model where there are subcontractors or different kinds of companies providing paratransit service. Are we going to ignore the lessons of the past, lose service quality, and have Metro Access customers not get what they deserve? Well, you know, I have to say that for those of you who are worried about this, please rest assured that I did not bump my head on the way to the office. And did not forget all of the lessons that we've learned in trying to fix the service. But at the same time, you all have also heard us talk over the years about how expensive Metro Access is. And of course, if Phil Posner were here, he could say, well, you know, you always talk about that. But, you know, there are other expenses at Metro other than paratransit, and why do we always pick on paratransit? And I agree with you. I think we pick on paratransit too much in general. because it is a vital service. But the reason why it gets so much attention by financial people is for one very simple fact. People look at the rail system and they see that on a typical weekday that almost 1 million people take the rail system. And on Metro Access, within 2 days of rail service, we carry 2 million people. And that's the same number of people that we carry on Metro Access for an entire year. And yet, the expense of Metro Access and the expense of rail, not too far away from each other in terms of, you know, how much the jurisdictions have to pay for. That brings a lot of attention to the service. So that is why the board asked us to do the sustainability study before, because they said, well, gosh, you know, if the population continues to grow, the cost is only going to get worse in the future. So what can we do about it? Now, in the meantime, many of you have heard about transportation network companies like Uber and Lyft. They're in the news. They are operating all over the country and frankly all over the world. They have kind of revolutionized transportation in a lot of ways. I went to a national conference last October where they were talking about it as a disruptive technology. And what they meant by this was that it was a new invention that basically changed an industry. And it has been disruptive for different kinds of businesses. Certainly the taxi industry has been disrupted by Uber for obvious reasons. And we've heard from some of our colleagues in the paratransit industry that there's a concern that if the taxi industry suffers, then so will the supply of accessible vehicles that are available in our communities. And that is a very real concern. We didn't know that this was going to happen, but one thing I can take a little bit of credit for is that we made a decision several years ago that Metro Access would operate with a 100% fully accessible fleet. And we have that. For our entire Metro Access fleet are those lovely red, white, and blue vans that you've all come to know and love. And each one of those little darlings has a wheelchair lift on. And we made that decision because we said, you know, in order for us to maintain quality service for the customer, that we want to be in a position where if we're on our way to go over and you know, I guess I'll pick on Ms. Bellman again. If we were on our way to go over and pick her up and she has a reservation and something goes wrong and the driver's running late, and we want to move that trip, I hate to say, where's Allison? We want to make it an add-on to another driver. I know.
Trip insertion.
Trip insertion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I can't. Can I not say that anymore? Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. And we want to make a trip insertion onto another driver's itinerary, and the nearest driver is in a vehicle that's not accessible. For the customer who's in a wheelchair, this ability is not going to be too great. So we wanted to have a completely accessible fee, and that's a value that we've been carrying on Metro Access for some time. So if we were to move toward other types of services, I think, and I see Ms. Case and Ms. Tyson in the corner of my eye, that if, you know, that they would have a question, I think question number one would be, are we going to lose some accessibility? And I know there's like 10 other questions behind that, right? But that's is it in your top 10? It's sort of in your top 10. Yes? No? Yes? No? Yes? Maybe? All right. We're going to come back to you. All right. So, and I asked Carol, because Carol's actually been a really good resource to us on this subject, but the availability of accessible vehicles is one thing that's important to us. But I'm going to put an idea forward at this point, because Chris and I wanted to kind of ask you for your input on this in a few areas today. So the first one would be, if Metro were to offer a separate program other than Metro Access, and you know, we'll call it Metro Access Lite, Okay, it's something else. It works a little bit differently. It may have different rules. And it had vehicles in it that were primarily sedans, like we used to have. What would the committee's reaction to that be? That's my first question. And, Mr. Chair, I think I'll pause and see if there's, if you would all like to comment.
Well, I can say, and I probably resonate some of the committee members that probably chime in, is with Assessor in New York, they do a lot of, assigning, trips to sedans and, taxi car sedan, type of stuff. And the problems I've seen over the years is when they do those types of trips, you have issues with drivers who pick up the customers. They give them the itinerary. This is their appointment time. This is the window. But they're coming very early, or they're not following the rules and waiting because they know they're getting paid by having, getting every customer. So it's making other people late by, waiting past the, 5 minute time and things like that. And sort of like packing them in and not following all the necessary rules. And I've seen this over and over again, people complain about it. So I would hope that this doesn't become what I see with them using, wanting to use more and more of that service where, yes, it's cheaper per ride, and most of them tend to be a shared ride also, and that has created a lot of strife and problems. That's what I'm putting in as my two cents of what I see. Do you want to start?
Mr. Chair, before you continue, I just want to clarify something. Because the question that I was asking was whether or not there is any issue with having a separate avenue that was mostly ambulatory. And what you described, where you're saying the way that you've seen this operate, the contractor was being paid by the trip, so it was a volume-based service, and you're saying the reliability was lower because of that?
Yes, because I've written it, and it didn't resonate, at least with me and a lot of customers as well. It's like, okay, Tesla has these rules on their vehicles, but when they're using sort of subcontractors, other taxi limousines, sedan services, they assign it to, if they decide to go to brokerage, because they have two major brokerage companies. So if you're ambulatory, you can take a trip for brokerage services, they assign it to that, and so when I call Accessoride, I have to call that 800 number and see, what provider they're using, because it's a brokerage type of deal.
Okay.
So. Ms. Bellamy, and then let's see, Mr. Bill.
Mr. Kent, I clearly see discrimination. It's right there for me to see. Number one, you're saying, although I can walk, I can't get in the back seat of the car. And that happens to a lot of people. Even though I'm in a wheelchair, I can't get in the back seat. I see you taking us back to discrimination. You can't get in a sedan. That was one of the reasons why we wanted the van, so that everybody would have a fair chance to ride. So, off the break, it's discrimination. You're discriminating against my disability and how fast I can ride and how often I can ride. So that would be a cut right there. What's being said is, if you can walk and get into a car, you might get a trip quicker than a person who's staying in a wheelchair or an elderly lady. So right off the break, I would say no. You would, for me and for this committee, everyone should have a fair chance to run.
Mr. Chair? One thing, and I appreciate that viewpoint because I have had others say that. One of the things that would be very valuable to us, because I have to take some of this information and certainly report back, is if you can tell us kind of the mirror image of that, that obviously if it was discriminatory, it's not okay. What would make it okay? How would it have to be set up in such a way where it would be fair, would be useful information for us?
Two things. We talked a couple of years back so that everybody could get the quality of the rights. One of the things we're going to do, let's just say that. Everybody has the right to have door to door. What constitutes an independent Uber driver giving me door to door? Who do you go to? Say I can't walk too fast today, it's snowing. Our rule says that the moment the driver sees or someone calls to make sure that that person at least contacts, we do that extra step, right? Who's going to call an independent contractor who's working solely for himself to let him know that Ms. Bellamy is not walking too well today, but she's at the door? You didn't even go to the door. You don't even need your car. That's one of the things we fought with the cabs years ago. So off the break, there's another thing that we go. What about door to door? What did we fight for? Secondly, I have the same chance to ride in a vehicle as anyone sitting in this room. Am I correct? So if you do have to insert me somewhere because the driver is down, you have control over it. You can see it at all times. If something goes wrong, one of your dispatchers can correct it. If we go to an independent service like Uber, who's going to correct? Who's going to find me? You know what I'm saying? And let's look at it another way. A lot of our customers are sending their mothers, and I don't agree with this, I'm not speaking for Metro. They will send their mothers, their fathers, their children on a Metro Access van, and they know they need some sort of support with someone else. So the security of our passengers is another thing that bothers. A lot of times people, you know, I'm not trying to throw no fault on anybody, but you and I and everybody sitting at this table know a lot of times people sit in their loved one's house and know they need somebody riding. And that has been a problem with Metro over the years, for the passenger and for Metro stuff. Who's going to control that? What if my mother had Alzheimer's and she said, no, I live right here. The driver stops. Who's responsible? Metro has always taken some responsibility. My fear, Mr. Kent, is that if you allow all this extra, although I know we have to do something, then you are giving the control that you fought so hard to get away. Do we want to go back to the dark ages when we first met? And we had a rough time, you know. It's better. It's not the best, but it's better. So right now, I know a lot of other people. We got a lot of them.
All right. Thank you, Bill, Captain, and then I see you.
I meant for the medical procedures and drivers and operations. I think that's... We got the same problems, but there's some way to work with. Maintaining the same type of drivers and the same operations, but augmenting the fleet with more sedans, which are more cost-effective to operate and to buy and to operate all over it because they break down less than the big vans and they're more reliable. And I think many people use Metro Access can use those cars and can use them very well and would prefer to use them. And clearly, there are some questions about people who can use them, but there will be a challenge in implementing that kind of push. But I do think it is a good idea to look into how to make it work.
Thank you. So next we got speaking orders of people. So Tappan, Anthony, Steve, Doris, and Ace.
Florida, Louisiana, California, they all have transportation facilities like we have, Metro Access. When I come to the airport, I can get a taxi in Chicago waiting to pick me up with a wheelchair accessible ramp and everything on it. Same thing in Florida. And these are the private, but they are there. I don't have to call anybody or make a reservation day before, like we do here in Red Top Car and in the Yellow Cab, all those guys. And this, it's not required. So if we could make Uber or Lyft, give them and tell them that they should have available accessibility vehicles, door-to-door service, as was mentioned by my colleague, and need for assistance and appropriate training, I think it will work. It will work. The advantage of having private industry with accessible vehicles, because if you have an accessible taxi or a car or a sedan, whatever you have, with a ramp on it, it could be used by everybody, both disabled and non-disabled persons. Because only person will use the ramp who needs it. But inside the car, facilities are okay. I mean, even a guy who is not disabled and wants to use that, and taxi is there or car is there for rent, he can use it. So we have to educate the people. They think, oh, it's so expensive to build something, the ramp and cost, because we will never get, there's not too many passengers. They forget that accessible vehicle is as usable by non-disabled person as well as disabled person. It is no loss for them. Now, I don't know if Uber or Lyft would go for that, because they might have a trouble. Oh, we'll make only two of them or five of them. That's not accessible to, that's not acceptable to us. You know, so there needs to be education, training. You cannot give Metro Access services away by thinking it will be taken by somebody who will overnight and do it. Because you could, Metro Access spend a lot of time to introduce this transportation facilities for people with disabilities. They have no idea. So that needs to be looked into before we go privatization.
All right.
That's my comment.
Next is Anthony, followed by Steve, and then Doris.
I'm going to yield to Charlie first, because I know he mentioned before I raised my hand. So I'll yield to Charlie. Go ahead, Charlie.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Just for background, to some degree, some might know the American Council of the Blind joining suit against the D.C. Taxi Oversight Body regarding its lack or failure to pick up people with service animals. That's currently in progress. Some might know about the NFB, National Federation of the Blind, suit against Uber a little over a year ago, around a year ago, because of the difficulties that were had in San Francisco. One Uber driver, they say, put the person's service dog in the trunk. You know, I was vehemently, A, coming down from New York, where you can never get a cab with a wet dog in the rain, hated taxis. And because of the NFB suit, I hated Uber. However, every time I have to try to educate an Uber driver, because I do use Uber now, and I rant and rave about Uber as a blind person. I know it's got its headaches for not being accessible for those. And it does discriminate, you're right, Ms. Bellamy, in the way that not everybody can use it. But for me, when I'm standing at a bus stop in weather like today, and this didn't happen today, but it happened last year, with my dog, and the driver thinks I'm out walking my dog, and it whizzes right by me, and I got to wait another 30 minutes in that cold with no shelter for another bus, Uber would be something I would jump to immediately. Because I am somebody who can use the Uber. And one point I'd like to raise in a sense of the conversation here taking place is, where is Uber at now? And the work that we are in the blindness community doing in trying to educate Uber on the issues where each time I'm in a car, I get that nervousness, am I going to have to educate this person? Will they pull away and I don't even know it? Because I have my service animal and it's somebody who just doesn't like dogs and they'll rather take the $5 cost of just canceling a ride out. You got to deal with customer service and all that. So I want to talk about opportunity. I like, and this is coming out of the MLK Day, Van Jones, those that know the Advocate, I always like what he says about Dr. King, where he says, Dr. King never said, I have a complaint, he said, I have a dream. I want folks to think about what Uber could be. Because for us to ignore where transportation is going in this country, not just in this country, but globally, with the onset of technology and the ease and the way that the whole world is, in a sense, for transportation turning upside down and feeling the impact of Uber. Because I used to take the bus a lot. Now I take Uber more if I need to go somewhere, because I'm not going to wait an hour on a weekend in the cold when an Uber can come to my door. And I'm, you know, someone who can't drive a car. What about all the people that are perfectly abled that can just as well use Uber? I want to talk about the opportunity in the future and to bring that picture into the equation, because I feel like we're not talking about that. Right now, as we speak, Uber is working on a pilot at university. I want to say Arizona State, whichever one is in, I think, outside of Phoenix, the big Arizona school, with their driverless cars. They are surpassing Google rapidly in taking over the driverless car sort of world and wanting to do that, because they see it as a way you get rid of driver. That means they're also working on designing their own cars, some have heard, to the point where then they could lease those cars out to their drivers, so you could be driving essentially those classic yellow cabs in New York. It would maybe be all one and fit one all, Uber. To my knowledge, I don't know too many people. There are those, I know Carolyn's here from United Spinal, and there are other disability advocates in the room that are engaging Uber and engaging folks like Google with their driverless cars and sort of the future of just where transportation is going, and trying to say, how can we make a car, like you were saying, Tappan, that will be accessible for everybody? A car of the future, in a sense. You know, because the reality of the Uber drivers and the concerns of the Uber drivers, in Uber's perfect world, those drivers are out of the equation because they're an added expense. 5, 10 years down the road, whatever it's going to be. And I'm sure, Mr. Kennan, any proposal you're talking about, it takes time. And technology, if you go by Moore's Law, technology is rapidly increasing and will continue to change at a faster rate. So for us to ignore and just throw to the side and cry out, this is a violation of Title II or Title III or whatever you want to cry out for ADA, for public accommodations, and I get the idea that a public entity should not spend money on a discriminatory practice. You're completely right, Ms. Bellamy, in that. But for us to ignore the TNC movement, for us, would runs the risk of putting the disability community in the dark ages. What I would propose is to engage the TNC industry as people with advocates with disability collectively, to let them know the voice that we can have as consumers. Let's just say hypothetically, someone wants to start a business, they think they can be an Uber driver and be a small business person. What if someone has a van in PG County that can be accessibly fitted? Or if we get these cars from Uber and we advocate and these cars are accessible cars, then could we in fact have a system in place that where a partnership could exist? I don't want to burn any bridges with Uber right now, or with Lyft, or with any of them. And I lean to Uber because they are the billion-dollar gorilla in the room. So I just don't want to burn bridges that would leave the disability community, because the reality, like in New York City, is a risk. They have all those cabs now that are accessible cabs that could be laying idle. Not because the disability movement or the disability community or people with disabilities, you know, but because the marketplace, the consumers at large, and I know my time's up, so I'll yield. But in that sense, you know, I want us to focus on the opportunities and try to enter in this conversation with a more of a vision of the future than just cursing what is now, and how can we make that vision come a reality.
Thank you. Next is Steve, Doris, Denise, and Charlie.
So this is a service that would complement the existing Metro Access? Okay. Couple of considerations, of course, for any private organization that Metro decides to contract with, is the aspect of control. Because with Metro Access, there is a control element because you're dealing with employees. So you've got a training component, you've got oversight, appropriate oversight, and you also have a recourse if there are any issues. Because you're dealing with with control over the vehicles themselves, and also control over the drivers. Those same elements need to be considered before any contracting goes forward. And I think that was one of the bases for questioning when we had this discussion a few weeks ago. There needs to be that complementary control that Metro oversees. This might, and it's going to be a question because I don't know, this might actually benefit Metro Access van riding individuals if it permits a quicker and perhaps more rapid ride to the destination, because some of the population is now using this private service. So at the time this is determined, I think there needs to be a commitment on the part of Metro that the Metro Access service will be maintained, and this is a complementary service, such that there may be actually a benefit to those who need to continue to use Metro Access in the form of perhaps more rapid access and a more rapid ride. Given those control elements, anything that improves accessible transport is certainly worth considering.
All right, thank you. Doris, followed by Denise and Charlie. Doris?
Am I on?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I'm sorry that I missed the previous discussion on this a couple of weeks ago. But unfortunately, I've had a broken foot. So I heard that this discussion was coming up, and so there are a couple of comments that I want to make. The primary one is this. Metro Access is a public transit service, and WMATA and its fixed route and ADA paratransit services are covered by Title II as well as Title III of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And as I recognize, probably most of us here already know, but to remind us that first place, if a TNC, whether Uber, Lyft, or somebody else, were to provide a service for WMATA and be a provider or vendor, they would be obligated to comply with Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And they would, in this case, be not just a ride share, but a transportation provider, and would be obligated to live up to all of the requirements and performance standards that ADA paratransit has to live up to, including ready access to accessible transport. Uber and Lyft and the TNCs, as I have followed the press on this, in the three jurisdictions, DC, Maryland, and Virginia, have attempted to and continue to attempt to extricate themselves from any requirement of the ADA. I think that this committee should, for that fact alone, not accept at this time this proposal. I have not seen any paperwork or RFP or anything like that. I would hope that we would see it, but I would think that if anything like that went out, that it would need to spell out those requirements that they're going to have to meet, and ask them specifically how they plan to do it. Right now, all they will do is refer people to another provider, usually a taxi company, to provide accessible vehicles. Secondly, this is a public service, Metro Access, and consequently, there should be equal access to reservations and to making reservations and to all that goes with it. Where's my ride and all that goes with it. If the alternative here is using Uber or Lyft and using their apps, not everyone has an iPhone or a smartphone, and certainly not everyone has them in all circumstances, nor access to a computer in all occasions. That would mean it would be an unequal service from the communication standpoint. So therefore, there needs to be a reservation alternative to simply using the app so that it's equal access. There are many of these issues, plus the issues that Uber and Lyft drivers, unlike the drivers who are driving for our Metro Access providers and our taxi companies, do not undergo any background checks, criminal background checks. There have been problems with this all over the country. Safety will be an issue. Furthermore, the TNCs don't have the liability to protect the patron, the rider, and WMATA for that matter, so I think that would be also a legal issue that has to be dealt with. And then, what position are we putting our industry? The drivers do not like working for them once they get working for them. They have to pick up all the expenses for crashes, for repairs, for all of it. What about the reliability of accessible features, even if they had accessible vehicles? How are you going to maintain them to that standard? So, what I'm trying to say, can I finish my sentence? I've listened to people go over 2 minutes. So what I would like to say is that, Mr. Penn, I feel that this is a not yet ready for prime time alternative. I think it needs to be explored and vetted much more, and I don't think that WMATA should be issuing contracts to TNCs. Even if you did that, I would think you should open it to taxi companies and other providers. Nevertheless, I don't think it's ready for prime time, and I would hope this committee would vote against it, because if we go there, we'll be violating the ADA.
Thank you. Denise, followed by Charlie. Did I have a customer comment? Three.
With the comments that Doris, Ms. Bellamy, and others have made, there's no way that we could even think about Lyft or Uber, because it's just not accessible to everyone, especially the apps, the smartphones. We're dealing with people on fixed incomes who can barely pay the fare. Now you want them to get an app, and they got to get a smartphone, they got to get a lot of things. and it doesn't give us the service that we're used to getting. Those vehicles are owned by individuals, and when are they inspected? We don't know. Uber drivers apply online. They don't even go meet the Uber company. Everything is done online, so they can turn in whatever and get away with it. This is not good. And the DC taxi service is picking up 12,000 people a month, but the DC taxi service was implemented without even, we just heard it on the street. It was never brought to the board that we even start that. It just happened and we heard about it and it's working, but if it had been brought to the committee, we would have the same concerns that we have now.
Thank you. Charlie, did I have a customer comment?
Thank you. After all that, what do you say? Well, I'd like to basically start off by saying that, you know, the old standard that separate but equal is never equal. Not only is that the decision of the Supreme Court, but it's true. Sometimes it's not. But anyway, I guess my concern is after reading issues like the Uber response to D.C., courtesy of Carol, I appreciate that, not the Uber, the Lyft, and they're basically admitting in writing that, well, we're not going to do the wheelchair, we're just going to farm it off to some other company to do it for us.
Right.
And that's the attitude that ultimately gets us all in trouble. Because ultimately, if we try to do that, we begin to see one segment of our population as less worthy than the other segment. And ultimately, that results in inherently separate but not equal treatment. So my way of dealing with this, where I had to deal with it, and thank God I don't, but I mean, where I had to decide like you, what you're going to do, I think I would try and find a way to solicit from the providers and require the transportation network companies to be accessible. You know, they don't run by their rules, they run by ours. You know, so enough of that. I mean, I think it's important for us to hold up a standard of let's have transportation that works for everybody, and let's find a way to pay for it so that it's cost-effective, but at the same time, it serves all the people. That's what I think you have to do.
All right, thank you. And then I have a customer comment here. Any thought or discussion of service for only some is unacceptable and will be opposed by the disability community. Fair is if all people, irrespective of disability, receive service and rides in the same timely manner. That came from a customer in the audience.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Blake asked whether or not, you know, since you have some guests here today for public comment, whether you wanted to join that to this discussion, or if do you want me to address those two questions and then have more public comment on this after the item is over, or do you want to do it at the same time?
I think if it's relevant public comment, we should hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. So long as it is relevant to this topic, not if. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Mr. Chair, well, you're. We're prepared to respond to, I mean, I've taken copious notes. This has been absolutely fantastic, fantastic feedback. I do have some comments that I can make, but as I said at the beginning, I didn't come in here with any proposal. I wanted to have the conversation with you, and I wanted to hear from you, and you've been fantastic. But, I mean, I can give you some you know, some of my own observations and, you know, a little speculation about kind of, you know, what I think we, you know, how we would like to proceed. But I really would like to get as much input on this as I can. So perhaps, Mr. Chair, if you would, you know, like to recognize members of the audience who wanted to comment, we'll continue to take notes.
Is that okay with the committees? In this case, yes. And make sure your comments, again, it's to this specific subject. We do have a customer comment period for general metro access issues. So by raising hands, I see... Okay. I guess we'll start with Heidi and then Ms. Tyson and then Ben. Okay.
Ms. White.
Written only Ms. White over the top. Dr. King wrote, "We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly." Day after Martin Luther King, I thought that was a relevant comment. The ADA is the premier civil rights legislation in America with people for disabilities and sets the international standard for the UN Treaty on the Convention of the Rights of People with Disabilities. Uber itself claims they are not responsible to meet the civil rights guaranteed under the ADA. For example, Anthony or Tony, in a lawsuit in San Jose, California, for refusing to transport guide dogs. And their response is, as was mentioned, we only are the app people, so we are not responsible to enforce those. And they have vigorously and continued to fight that responsibility. We're not shutting the door on them. They're shutting the door on us. I think it would be wonderful if they would be open. And the response to that, and, you know, the DOJ has weighed in and said, actually, you do. But the court case has not been decided. But it is written in many articles. Their response to that is to donate to many California state legislators. And they claim they have the votes to get an exemption no matter what the courts say.
And Virginia.
That the state legislators can pass them and say, you're right, you don't have to do guide dogs. They're shutting the door. They are legally spending large sums of money to avoid providing specifically Charlie, Tony, Will, Bill, me, Carolyn, service. Would one not consider awarding a contract to any other company that is specifically being sued for discrimination under the ADA? As a part of Metro's required training for all direct service staff called Serving Customers with Disabilities, they say the ADA requires that Metro personnel, transit vehicles, facilities, and information are continuously accessible, functional, and maintained for Metro customers with disabilities. That's how we train people. We're going to give them a pass on that?
Right.
The same training also says they need to comply with Metro's policy and law, which includes proper communication and interaction with customers with disabilities, and they must treat people with disabilities with respect, dignity, and courtesy. The most recent Uber horrendous story out of New York, where they refuse to transport
we have other people who do want to make their comments.
They refused to transport a pregnant woman, left her standing, she was in labor, and still charged her $13 for wasting
his time.
Heidi,
finish up your comment, please. We do need to move on to other people. Thank you.
We'd be more considerate.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Can I just have a 30-second response, just because Heidi mentioned, I wanted to clarify something I said earlier.
Okay.
Just in response, Heidi, because at no point I wanted to make an accusation that we should do contract with Uber. You know, it's taken decades for folks that deal with, like, technology, for instance, in the Internet, to make the Internet still not accessible, but much better than it was. My hope is that we can enter into conversations with TNCs as advocates
and work towards a future that is all-inclusive, to work towards that. And that was my primary point.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Tyson? If you can try to keep it under 3 minutes.
I have to read.
Just try to keep this under 3 minutes, please, because we do.
I just wrote it. So thank you for the opportunity to speak, everyone. I want to echo what others have already said, but feel the need to speak on the record since Mr. Kent called me out. So this is a response. I wouldn't have said anything, but now I will. So number one, Uber is operating all over the world, to your point. And I've been to conferences too, but in most cities, they aren't providing accessible service, and where they are relying on accessible taxis. This has been stated, right? Uber and Lyft have revolutionized transportation, that's true, and it has set wheelchair users and equal access back decades. Decades. Most U.S. citizens have now accepted that a common form of transportation might not be available to everyone. And that's okay. Case in point, the WMATA partnership with Lyft right now. Nobody's questioned that at all. And it's so horrible. And you're making a face. So it's the like first mile, last mile, Lyft partners or Lyft riders get a discount if they are getting off at a metro stop and it's all over the metro trains. Right? So that wheelchair users can't take advantage of innovative on-demand options. That's where we are now, and that's the future, unless groups like this decide to take a stand and hold them to a higher standard. So number two, when you partner with these companies like Uber and Lyft, who aren't providing wheelchair accessible service, without requiring them to do so, you are decreasing accessible on-demand transportation options in the region, because where they operate, we know this, we have the numbers, accessible taxi numbers dwindle and decrease significantly in San Francisco, in New York City, and here, unless we do something. To your earlier statement, Mr. Kent, my question would be, are you creating a two-tiered segregated system if you partner with a company that is providing service only to ambulatory passengers and leaving wheelchair users to the traditional shared ride service? I think Carolyn Bellamy is right, and I think the answer is yes. So it's not really a question, it's a statement. Number four, I urge WMATA and all the members of this community to hold any company providing transportation to the highest standards that we all deserve. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person, I think you want to speak. No? Yes? 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak and being here today. It's my first meeting, and it's been very good, a wonderful experience. My name is Elizabeth Levy, and I'm a lead organizer with the National AFL-CIO. I am representing the Monaco Union Taxi Cooperative, a driver-owned and operated taxi service in Montgomery County, which grew out of a successful organizing drive with the drivers. The co-op, with more than 100 members, professional driver members, is committed to serving the whole community, including the elderly individuals' need of wheelchair-accessible transportation. It is a regulated company by the County of Montgomery County. Montgomery County's Department of Transportation has just awarded 50 accessible vehicle licenses. It can only be used for accessible vehicles to the Montgomery County, to the co-op. The co-op is committed, and we should have vehicles on the road in about 6 weeks. The co-op is committed to ensuring that our drivers receive training to provide safe customer service. We are designing training and drawing with the expertise of our advisory board, which brings professional drivers together with advocates and individual disabilities. We commend WMATA for considering alternative programs, paratransit programs in the metro area, single ride programs. That will be available within an hour if requested. This dramatically improves customer travel and options and satisfaction with services. The co-op is extremely interested in working with WMATA to provide rides in wheelchair accessible vehicles through a similar program extending this option to customers in Montgomery County. However, we are concerned that the discussed draft proposal to expand the alternative paratransit program may result in contracting with a TNC such as Uber and Lyft,
although neither of these accessible vehicles on the road have accessible vehicles on the road, nor have they agreed to abide by the requirements of the American Disabilities Act. If the proposal goes forward, Ramada could contract with a TNC that would then be partnered with other providers like us, so it would be like a double two-tiered system, creating a two-tiered system, segregating ambulatory and non-ambulatory passengers. We are strongly opposed to this approach. Instead, we strongly urge the board to award an alternative paratransit service contracts to companies that provide the following. One, respect and compliance with ADA, quality, consistent service, and safety. Commitment to providing wheelchair accessible transportation to all. Improving working conditions that reduce driver turnover and support the growth of local economy and small business. Thank you. I'd like to say, later on or some point, if there's questions about the Monaco Union Taxi Co-op, we're very excited about providing the service to the whole community.
Thank you.
And I'd like to can I get
you
to the chair?
Thank you. All right. All right. As it relates to this particular topic. Okay. 3 minutes.
When I first came in the room today, I had an idea that this just totally shouldn't be working. And the gentleman, I don't know his name, the gentleman in the blue, talked in terms of the future. And I surely would hate to see this totally dismissed, but it needs a lot of work. And I honestly believe that it can work, but it doesn't. It has to be done almost like a prototype. And you have individuals and you have states, you have cities who are currently investigating this, who are currently operating with it, and there's a lot to be learned where you're not necessarily reinventing the wheel. So in my opinion, I'm very sensitive to the fact about the discrimination. However, I would hate to see it tabled totally. It just has to be worked through.
Thank you. Anyone else to speak only on this topic here that we're discussing, transportation alternatives?
I've got one little question.
Ms. Bell?
You don't mind.
What?
I've got one little
thing. You have a question?
I want to also add something I think a lot of us forgot. Just one little thing if you don't mind.
Okay, we got you.
Mr. Kent, I also always go over and over again about the poor.
Yep. 3 minutes.
And also, I do. The poor. I'm listening. I can't use my time that way. I have a problem with us talking about apps and computers. Senior citizens, and I still represent them highly, do not walk around and get new computers. They're living off of a fixed income. They don't have apps. They don't have DirecTV or Comcast. They live a simple life. And when you start talking about technology, you're also shedding them out too. We're all getting there. And what I'm afraid of is that ride that Grandma or Grandma Bellamy needs to ride in the next 5 years, because I don't have a smartphone, I won't be able to get the ride. Because I don't have a computer in my house, I won't get the ride. A lot of my friends have passed on. And for me, I am now the oldest member of my family, which means that I could be in a senior citizen resident all alone without DirecTV, without a computer, trying to get to the doctor. And my fear is we're going to keep going and going, and I'll be locked in my own mind in my own one bedroom one day. Metro Access provides freedom. Each one of us sitting in here that rode today got down here because of that freedom, because of the fight we did. I don't want to see it thrown away because somebody wants to, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, somebody wants to throw something at us. I've already seen us overlooked with the pictures that have been put on the bus. Now, I must commend. But let me say this, and I'm finished. Last Monday, I tried to get on a bus. No, I tried to get the subway, excuse me. I rode in the cold to the Glenmont station. Nobody said to me that the elevator was not working, the outside. I crossed the street. I got down on the elevator. But when I got to the gate, the lady at the gate said, "I'm sorry, I can't get you down. The elevator's not working to the platform." I had to be in court. So I had to go back across the street again. I'm afraid of crossing streets. That's a great fear of mine. I'm afraid of being underground. Couldn't get the bus. Mr. Kent, I had to get on a shuttle bus. I was in contempt of court because I was trying to go another route rather than get on Metro Access. It taught me a lesson. You know what the lesson is. The judge held me in contempt of court. The only reason why he told me he was going to let it go was because I was sitting in a wheelchair and I had this on my arm. They could have arrested me. I didn't know anything about the elevator not working. Metro Access is important. Let's keep it important.
Thank you. So, Mr. Kent, I want you to sort of summarize this because I have a long customer service, comment list, and I want to get to everyone and still end at 6 o'clock.
Mr. Chairman, could I just say one 10-second thing?
No.
Okay. No, it's for Mr. Kent's notes, okay?
Which quickly, because I wanted to sum this up so that we can get the customer comment.
No.
We have a lot of customers.
It'll take 10 seconds, okay?
All right, go ahead.
All right. Mr. Kent, when I was saying about the ADA obligations, also remember that a Title II entity that comes under a contract or vending agreement with a provider also... That provider, there's a provision in the ADA called stand in the shoes, and that provider stands in the shoes of the Title II entity. In other words, WMATA and or any jurisdiction that's involved, and therefore they would be as obligated to comply with Title II as WMATA is and as Prince George's, Montgomery, Fairfax, all the counties are.
All right, thank you. So you want to sum this up? No.
Mr. Chair, there was one more customer.
Bill, you want to make one more comment as it relates to this topic? We're talking about paratransit alternatives.
I understand that. I'm just a little bit confused about what specifically upon arrival, seeing that there was maybe some discussion about this matter to begin, I was told that there was no proposal circulated, yet Mr. Lemmy referred to and discussed the draft proposal. I'm wondering, in fact, if the consent committee has actually seen something that's being proposed by WMATA staff or not. Why I'm a little bit confused. I had been told that the proposal would concern Metro contracting with Uber and Lyft, and some of the discussion thus far seems to be have to do with that. If there's been no proposal circulated, how can the public, specifically me, be expected to comment reasonably on something that's not been seen, that's not been read? So. There's an undercurrent here, something. They're planning on suggesting something, and they're soliciting comment, but that something has not been circulated. If it has been, I would like a copy of it so that I can read it and make appropriate comment at a future time. Thank you.
Thank you. So, yes, the mic is on.
Now,
before you came, it was announced that we
were expecting it, but we have not received it, and we're not, it has not been distributed.
All right, Mr. Kent, if you can sum up this topic up, if Mr. Kent can respond
and then sum this up so we can move on to public comments. I have quite a number of customers I want to get to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, Mr. Chair, may I ask how much time I have to...
We can do this within 5 minutes because I want to start firmly at 5:30. We got a lot of people.
All right. I just thought
and
I would ask.
And everyone has 3 minutes, so...
Okay. Thank you,
and
Mr. Chair.
And there's another meeting after this at 6 o'clock, so...
Understood. Well, first of all, this was excellent input. And I think, you know, Mr. Orlean's question is relevant in the sense that, you know, I have heard from varying people that there was a proposal, a document, a deal, some type of something going on between WMATA and one of these companies. Now, I'm gonna put this as plainly as I can. You know, WMATA has many salespeople who come and knock on their door. That does not constitute a contract. The second thing that I would say is that although we are aware of the fact that these TNC companies are, you know, kind of, you know, they're in the news and they've captured a lot of people's attention, that they are innovative, we're also aware of the legal issues that surround those companies in different parts of the country. To Ms. Ray's comment, Metro is very clear on its obligation under the ADA with all of the services that it provides. I honestly have not had the opportunity to even compile a position on the subject, let alone talk about it to the board or, frankly, even the new general manager. The reason why you aren't seeing a document tonight is because of the fact that, frankly, you know, in order to put one together that's going to make any sense, we have to know what it is that we really want to do. And the only thing that I know that Metro wants to do is find a way to make Metro Access more sustainable. That if there is a way to deliver a portion of this service at a more economical, you know, rate, then we'd like to do that. Because that money that we get back, frankly, you know where it's going to go, is it's going to go right back into serving more Metro Access customers, because the service does not deny anyone, has to be there, will be there, per Ms. Bellamy's comment that it needs to stay there for the future. Well, it's going to. There's not a choice in that. The ADA is there. You know, unlike the discussions about Obamacare, I don't think Congress is going to vote to repeal the ADA. So, you know, I think we're going to have the paratransit service around indefinitely. So the real issue that we're trying to grapple with, and I am honestly going to take the feedback that you've given me, and I'm going to have a frank discussion with the general manager and the other leadership here to talk about the things you've raised. Because my job is to be the liaison between you and the leadership here, other than the board. You speak directly to the board, but I represent you with the executive team. And there's more than one way to meet the needs of specialized transportation in the region. There's one school of thought that it should all be controlled by WMATA because we are the transportation company. And some of you have observed, if WMATA runs it, there are a lot of rules and regs that apply, which on the one hand guarantees a certain level of uniformity that everybody gets comparable service or certainly equal access to it. Like one of you made the comment about equal access to things like reservations. I mean, that's true. WMATA's services have to be equally accessible by all of the customers who are eligible to use paratransit and equally accessible to everyone if it's a fixed-route service. But, and we won't be able to finish this tonight, but I'm going to put this thought out here, that it is my belief that this type of service takes a village, that there are lots of organizations across the region who would like to help with transporting people with special needs. That doesn't mean that all of them are going to be Metro Access contractors. And it also doesn't mean that every person who has a disability wants to use Metro Access specifically. They may be willing, if they're offered other alternatives, to try those. The Transport DC program is an excellent example of this. The service is growing by leaps and bounds. It's provided by the jurisdiction. The control on quality comes from the DC Taxi Commission, and our own Heidi Case is advising them from, you know, the community standpoint. So there are other entities, 2 minutes, Mr. Chair. He's watching my clock. There are other entities out there that can deliver the service and still have checks on quality. It doesn't necessarily have to be WMATA. And the one thing I've said to all the audience is that we are the most expensive option, because the flip side of those regs that ensure quality is that quality comes at a cost. If you, whether you have a disability or not, if you decided tomorrow that you wanted to take a trip by air, as an example, some people are going to go to Southwest, some are going to go to Spirit, some of them are going to look for cheaptickets.com, and if they don't have a .com access, they're going to call on the phone, and they're going to ask, you know, where they can get the cheapest trip ticket, right? And other people are going to fly coach or first class on a major carrier, but the right to choose is the issue. A person with a disability, we're so parental about this sometimes, that we want to make sure that the service is perfect. Some people with disabilities are like, look, you can give me the no-frills option if I can reserve my trip, if I can just go today, and I don't have to deal with a call center. Or, you know, I don't have to go through all of the bureaucracy of WMATA, and that's why a lot of them are turning to DC's Transport DC program. They can choose other options if they wish. So whatever, and I see it, whatever WMATA ultimately creates, there are two things that I'm going to commit to you. One is that you are absolutely going to have full input into anything that we're even thinking about before we would propose it formally to the board. But the other thing is that we have to just keep in mind, too, that whatever is put out there, whether it's a WMATA service or if the jurisdictions decide to do it, there is nothing that we will do that will change everybody's right to paratransit service if they want it and at any time. It's a civil right. It's not going anywhere. So I'm going to take your input from tonight. I'm going to go back, discuss it with the leadership. We're going to be talking about this again, I'm sure, a number of times this year. But I just appreciate the detailed input that you've provided. I think you've all made some excellent points. And I'm sorry, you know, if we didn't get this information out there sooner. I did want to make one comment about the partnership with Lyft, the first mile, last mile thing. I'm going to be completely candid with you. I was not aware of it until it was brought to my attention. But what I will tell you is that even though my job is to pay attention to accessibility 24 hours a day, that's what I do. I will see that stuff because I'm paying attention to it. I'm sure all of you know WMATA's current situation. And I'm sure that that partnership with Lyft was very much aimed at increasing ridership on bus and rail, because the loss of that ridership is hurting Metro's pocketbook. And that money is needed for many things. It's needed for operational expenses, and it's needed to keep the rail system in a state of good repair as well. So I'm sure there were some good intentions behind it, but now that you all have brought this to the forefront, I would just recommend to the chair that as we go each month when we talk about this, all of this input can go into the board report to kind of let them know what everybody said. And I think that that's going to be a good way to keep everybody focused on the right issues. But I thank you again for the opportunity, Mr. Chair.
Can I just ask you, what is the Lyft thing that you just mentioned?
I do need to start customer comment period.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Almost 10
customers. If you could just say in one sentence what the thing with Lyft is.
There is a mention, I guess that's on, is that on our website, Mr. Blake?
I mean, I can give y'all customer comment time to talk about that, each of y'all, if y'all want to respond, but
do you want to do that, Mr. Chair?
That's fine.
Yes.
Okay, thank you,
all right, I'll put you both on the list.
Ms. Kent, I just wanted on record that it sounds like we were waiting for a document. We were told the document was going to be emailed to us. We didn't just dream a document. I wanted on record that Christian Blake told us that we were to expect the document, review it, and go through it quickly because it was time sensitive. And now it's like, what document? The document we were told we were going to get email. So I just want it on record, please.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to answer that. The document you're talking about was an opportunity to go out and ask the industry who would be interested in working with WMATA on this type of thing. Now, the fact is, Phil talked to us about the possibility of doing an RFI. Mr. Blake talked to you about the possibility of putting out a solicitation that would be aimed at TNCs. What I've told you this evening is that based on what you all said to us, we decided that before we try to pick any direction and advance any kind of document to you, because we have a lot of choices, we have decided that that is premature because we did not have that discussion with you. So we have pulled back. We're talking to you, we're getting your view, put your views on things, and as I said, the new general manager had not had an opportunity to discuss it at length with us either. So that's why we don't at this point feel that it's really appropriate to try to put any document in front of you, because now we've kind of pulled back from all of that and we're listening to what all of you are saying. And we're giving the new general manager an opportunity to hear what's been said. And, you know, once we've picked a direction to go in, we will come back to the committee and we will bring you something to review.
All right. Thank you. First person is Carol Tyson. 3 minutes. So you don't have no customer comment? Okay. All right. Francine White.
My issue has to deal with eligibility, and I recently went through the recertification process, and it came to my attention question 11, which is basically for the provider section to be filled out, whether or not your patient or customer has had a tonic-clonic seizure within the past 4 months. And I would just like to say that there are other seizure disorders that should be at least included in this process, because it's not only tonic-clonic seizures that can leave a person incapacitated to take metro access or even the bus and rail, and to maybe broaden that scope a little bit, or maybe even have a section on there where the provider could put in your opinion, is this patient, you know, able to take, you know, the bus and rail?
Mr. Colbert, if I could just ask you, is that the medical portion of the application? It is? Okay. All right. Thank you, Ms. White. We'll look into that.
All right. Thank you. Next is someone. Is this like Beth? Oh, okay. All right. Did you have a comment? Or you already made it? Okay, good. Next is Heidi. You gone? Okay. next person is Renee Murphy. 3 minutes.
Access. Overall, since I've been riding with Metro Access, I would think about 90% of the drivers, they're rude, they're nasty, they don't want to give you door-to-door service, You always have to ask them to put the lift down. You get on the van. They don't want to help you with the seatbelt. Half of them don't have the extension. They don't. When you're in the seat, and then they go ahead and sit down. They don't check to see if you have your seatbelt on. I actually rode from number 3 Washington Circle to pick somebody else up down at Urban Graven and went home with no seatbelt on. And the driver didn't care. She didn't care at all. And this is constantly going on with Metro Access drivers. I've called in and I've gave a numerous amount of complaints. I ride with Metro Access pretty much about 6 days out of a week. Every single ride, there's a problem. Today, I had a problem with both rides, going and coming. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And I just don't know what to do about it. When I complain, quality control calls me and they say, oh, we'll get into it. I apologize. I'm going to send the supervisor a letter. Then I run into that driver again. Same exact thing. So sometimes, you know, I really get to the point where I don't even want to call in to complain anymore because there's nothing being done about it. If all the clients were actually to call in and give actually all the complaints they have against Metro Access and their drivers, everybody here will be in total shock. And for the gentleman that was speaking, my comment to you, now if somebody was to come out of the woodwork or a company was to come out of the woodwork and they have a fleet of vans, cars, lifts, whatever you want, and every driver did the protocol, they were nice, they were in uniforms, everything went fine and well, Metro Access would be put out of business. There will be no more Metro Access. That's it.
Thank you. And who wanted to respond to that?
Mr. Chair, can I ask the person a question?
Before Ms. I guess Anderson is going to respond, quick question.
Well, Mr. Crawford can go ahead and ask his question before I respond.
Thank you. I'm interested to know where do you live? Where do you get Metro Access at? Because it seems to be particularly problematic in your area.
I live in Ward 6, Northeast.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Anderson.
Well, Ms. Murphy, I definitely do apologize for the experience that you're reporting to us today. Clearly, we want all our customers to have a very pleasant experience when they're riding aboard one of our vehicles. I would like to have one of our service monitors from our office specifically get with you so that we can obtain some further details. Obviously, you've already communicated that you've called into our customer service department and filed complaints, so we'll be able to access those documents. But we definitely want to work with you in tandem to resolve this and have you maybe come back at a future meeting and report that you've seen a significant turnaround with your service.
All right.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
If you don't mind to the customer, I wanted to say to you that I appreciate what you've said. I realize that obviously when we don't do what we promise you that we're going to do, we're not winning you over. We're not winning your business, and I understand that. When you mentioned that quality control calls you, and they tell you that they're going to look into the situation and then nothing changes, you know, I want to say for everybody's benefit that, you know, one of the reasons why we put that process in place was because some years ago we used to have many more complaints about Metro Access than we do now. And I know that it doesn't help you because you've been having bad experiences recently. But as someone who's been involved with it for the last 10 years, this is the lowest complaint level that we have had, and yet obviously we're still not taking care of you. That distresses me to hear that, especially because, you know, I can forgive an occasional mistake, but when you repeat the same mistake, especially with the same customer, you begin to lose credibility. And people wonder, well, you know, why can't we just fix that? Why would you do the same thing over and over again? So I just want you to know that we would love to talk with you before you leave this evening, to hear from you very specifically, you know, what has been going on, because this management team does care. I know we haven't shown you that, but we're going to show you that, and I'm just terribly sorry that we haven't gotten the problem solved, but we have a lot of people both working for Metro and with our contractors. There's a couple of folks sitting right around you who are with quality control, and they're probably sitting there going, I'd probably talk to her, you know. So, I mean, right? So you're right there, okay? We know that we can fix this, and we just thank you for coming down here and telling us, letting us see you and have an opportunity to hear this from you firsthand, because we were working as hard as we can to bring our complaint numbers down. But I think, you know, it's one of those things I'll share with you that, you know, remember earlier in the meeting I mentioned that we used to schedule 4,000 trips a day by hand. Well, then we got the computer, so we thought we were cool. And then now we schedule 8,000, or no, how many is it? How many trips are we scheduling, Ms. Anderson?
We schedule, actually tomorrow we have 8,500 trips.
So we have 8,500 trips in a single day, which is a lot. Now the computer does it, and we're appreciative of the computer, but at the same time it's the driver who ultimately takes care of you. When you do complain, I will tell you the system that we have set up is that when you do complain and you do tell us what happened, the quality control group does talk with that driver's boss to put the complaint to the correct garage and say, you know, you need to look into this situation, which is why, you know, if I don't know, were you saying it was the same operator, the same person? Well,
We can find out who that
individual
is.
I think we can fix that.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to talk with you after the meeting, but I just appreciate you telling us. I don't want you to think that we don't care. And you come in, you know, a lot of times the customers hear us in here talking about all these neat little concepts, then they're like, look, just give me an on-time ride and be nice to me, you know. And we do appreciate you telling us that. We're going to work with you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Bob Walsh.
I just saw Mr. Walsh depart.
Oh, okay. All right. Andrea Thomas?
Right here. I have a couple of questions.
Three minutes.
I have a couple of questions. I'm a family member of an individual with a disability. First, with the EZ Pay online system, is there any way to link it better?
The mic has stopped working.
Because what happens is, then you go into, you have to do one and then you have to do the other. There's apparently some linkage with those two systems, but what happens is if you go in to schedule a trip, you don't know if you have enough money in your EasyPay account until after you schedule the trip. So why can't you, when you go in to your account, why can't you see that right away? And why can't you put the money in there? That would save a lot of time. Another thing with scheduling trips online, sometimes you'll get a time back for the trip, but then when you get to the end, the time is different, completely different than the time that it was originally showed you in the system. I don't know if this needs to be recalibrated, but there's a problem there. Another issue, trips from Montgomery to Prince George's or Prince George's to Montgomery, it seems to be, and we've gotten increasing numbers of reports of this, consistently they're taking you from, if you're coming from Bowie and you're trying to go to Rockville, they're taking you to D.C. first, a long distance away. And this seems to have coincided with this new CAD system in D.C. A
listening all the way back to...
All right, time's up. If you have any extra comments, there's staff here, they'll be ready to receive them. Anyone wants to comment on it?
Yes, Ms. Thomas, you had a pretty lengthy list that you presented. I would like to have one of our folks get with you afterwards, and you can provide us with that list, and then we'll be in contact with you to make sure that we address everything that you brought forth.
Since that new CAB system started in D.C., that you're going to reduce the number of vans in the city, and as a result, you're going to link, whenever you're going from Maryland, you're going to have to come into the city. Is that been a policy? Because that's
no,
what
ma'am.
Needs to have happened.
No, ma'am. Not at all. There is no linkage there related to D.C. transport.
All right.
Transport D.C.
Thank you. Bill Orleans, 3 minutes.
Everything is related. I think it was December 10th, Mr. Kent sent a letter to the director of the Council of Governments proposing a spring forum on alternatives to metro access. When last I had occasion to speak with members of this committee and the subcommittee and the full committee, they had not been made aware of that. I had suggested to staff, senior staff, that they should inform the committee and discuss what role the full committee and the subcommittee could play in that spring forum. I don't know if a time and a location has been decided upon, but I would hope that Mr. Kent could inform the committee rather than I informing the committee of his proposal with that regard. Since I have time left, on the earlier discussion, I'm curious if Mr. Kent can relate to me based on the sense I have based on what he said, because a number of sales folks might knock on WMATA's door. If that's the case, if that's where the idea came up of WMATA partnering or contracting with Uber, Lyft, or others, and if the reason there's nothing that's been circulated today to the subcommittee, if that's the case, if that's the reason why nothing's been circulated, because of the definite proposal. And if a single and what you contracting with us, I don't think that the parties like Uber. How to see and for discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Oh, wait a minute.
One other thing, if I might. Oh, your time is up.
Yeah, your time is up. See, the minutes of any subcommittee meeting or full committee meeting, a discussion of the George Mason study.
All right.
I'm told it occurred. I would appreciate
Thank you.
Providing me a copy of the minutes of the meeting in which that discussion occurred. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Armstrong is next. 3 minutes.
Hello and happy new year to all. The dispatchers are really a nuisance to the drivers. By the time I get my call,
this dispatcher is calling me to see if I'm going out. It's less than 5 minutes. As I'm walking with the driver, the dispatcher is calling. And I think they could put their calls to better use to find out where some rides are when you're calling them and nobody knows. Because actually, you could have an accident by distracting the driver constantly on the van. They can wait until the driver, if they already put a ride, you don't need to contact unless the driver calls. But I'm finding out the dispatchers are calling before the driver even calls. Also, I came down, and you all know that I used to have problems with my hotel being back. Now the hotel address is coming back up. They're calling me at home instead of work, or at my house instead of the hospital where I am. Today, my ride was from 8:43 to 9:03. Five vans, including mine, left. One was 497, left Georgetown early. I mean, not early, empty. The other ones had people going back and forth. I had to call three times. Even one dispatcher sent me to scheduling. Scheduling had to send me back to find out where my van is. I had to use leave. I got to work at 10:28, and I was the only one. Problems are happening with the drivers. I don't know if they knew or what. One told me he couldn't carry my bag. I either had to hold your arm or carry your bag, whichever one you want. Or they'll say, well, I can't do this or I can't do this. And you know, I usually I'm speaking up for the drivers, but lately, I don't know what's happening with some of the new ones. When you're scheduling a ride, your price is one fare. By the time they read it back to you, it's another fare. And it's the same ride. And the scheduler said they don't know what's happening. It keeps changing. Lately, there have been, wait a minute. It would be more in bed. Oh, November the 4th, I talked to someone, and I'm not sure if this is the name, a Barbara Summers. A dispatcher was very rude to the driver and her because her wheelchair was a wired wheelchair and she couldn't turn around in it. And they asked to send another van. They said, no, we're not, and no sure. I'm not sure if that's it. She lives in Southeast, but I can't really read all of my information. I was trying to take it. But I don't know what's happening with these dispatchers just taking over and being in control of the supervisor, whoever it is. But we need to get a better handle because things were going good, and it seems like something is happening, and I don't know what is going on.
All right. Thank you.
I'm actually going to ask Mr. Gray from MV Transportation to maybe comment relative to the comments Ms. Armstrong had relative to the dispatch teams.
First off, thank you very much for the comments. I do know about the problem with your trip this morning. Unfortunately, I don't have a good explanation for my team on exactly what happened with your trip. The explanation I got did not make any sense to me, so I'm going back to find out for myself what happened with your trip this morning, because that shouldn't have happened. With the drivers and the dispatchers calling the driver trying to figure out, make sure that we've picked you up on time, there is a communication problem there. I'll be going again with my dispatchers over that. Now, sometimes it might be as simple as the driver does not press arrive on the Ranger, so we can't verify it until we get a hold of the driver. And I'll verify that with our dispatchers to see what's going on.
All right, thank you. Doris, 3 minutes, you have the last word.
Me?
Yes. And then we're adjourning.
Because
remember I asked you one of your
most comments. This was actually relevant to the question that I was asking Mr. Kent about the whatever's happening with Lyft. He mentioned something miles or, and I had, I guess, read somewhere in a website or something. So it's, I don't know if it was a blog or whatever, that that you had indicated that there was some service, I guess with Lyft from what I'm hearing, to provide transport or enable transport via TNC from metro stations or something like that. And so I had a question about that because my feeling about this is similar to the situation with Metro Access, if that service is available so that riders of bus and rail can utilize a TNC for some kind of cheaper deal, I, as a person who is not only committed but reliant on public transportation and get to a metro station or wherever, I should be able to avail myself of it, but that service is not accessible to me because I don't have an iPhone, and therefore I don't have an accessible connect to the app. So so I don't think WMATA should be doing that either. But that's my feeling about it.
Thank you. And then Denise Rush is the last word. We can do, I want to end at 6 because we have another meeting. Go ahead, Denise.
I want to talk.
Oh, let me turn you on. There you go.
Okay. We usually have, they're saying we have low ridership with Metro. I guess that's on the bus and the rail. And then we're increasing ridership on Metro Access. So why are these things happening, that we're increasing on Metro Access and low ridership on the rail, and we have people who are really using the fixed routes? Excuse me?
Well, the mic is on.
Can you hear it?
What are the mics as far as happening?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Like someone's going to address the issue with her.
Okay. So.
You were on, but then you went off.
All right. They put the mic in your hand. You can speak into this. There you go.
Can you hear now, Doris? Hello?
All right.
Okay.
Kate.
Can you hear now, Doris? Doris? Well, all right. I'll just. Okay. You can hear now?
Yes.
Okay. The ridership is increasing with Metro Access, and Ms. Anderson said the complaints are, and Mr. Kent said the complaints are as low, but the fact is that a lot of people don't make the complaints because they feel that there's no point, or you'll be tagged, you know, kind of like a troublemaker. And the things that are happening, a lot of times I really want to make a complaint, and I just say, just leave it alone. But what are happening to customers is ridiculous, with riding long times, 2 to 2.5 hours on a trip. They brought a lady from Bethesda down to my job and then picked me up and had to take her out way, way out of the way. People are not paying attention. They're either paying attention to the location or the drop-off, but the trips are really too long. And if I complained with all my trips, there would be an increase if everybody really complained about the service.
All right, thank you so much. We do need to end. There is another meeting. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. There is going to be a meeting in the next 5 minutes with the fare policy for those who want to stay. So those need to please do leave quickly. Thank you. So,
Mr. Jim.